You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 135. Today's episode is a replay of one of our most popular shows. We'll cover the things every first-time visitor to New Orleans should do. Even experienced visitors might find some ideas. While this is a replay of an older show, I believe it makes sense and it's still relevant given how many new listeners we have and how many people are planning trips as we start to see life after COVID. The last show was all about Diamond Jim Moran, one of the most colorful characters of mid-century New Orleans. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. I think you'll enjoy it. Before we jump in, let me talk about the people that make the show possible. The most frequent questions I get are about moving to New Orleans. If you're ready to make the move, you need a good realtor, and that's where Liz Wood comes in. Let Liz and her team over at Liz Wood Realty help you find the right place. They can help whether you plan to rent or purchase. Look, New Orleans is a terrific city, but choosing the neighborhood that's the best fit for you can be overwhelming. Liz makes the process fun and easy. Reach out to Liz and make your dream of living in New Orleans a reality. Several members of our community have done just that, and they're thrilled with their new homes. You will be too. The other thing that really sets Liz apart is what she does after she helps you find a home. Liz does a great job at building community and helping you get connected with people in your new area. When you're ready to make the move, reach out to Liz at LizWoodRealty.com. Workplace Solutions offers furniture and technology products for corporate, education, and healthcare environments, plus individuals too. Through partnerships with Steelcase and Microsoft Workplace Solutions creates spaces that extend employee creativity and productivity through the transformation of everyday workplace experiences. If you're looking to recreate your workplace for hundreds of employees or build out that home office like me, visit Paul and the team over at Workplace Solutions. Several months ago, I got a sit-stand desk from Workplace Solutions for my home office, and I got to tell you, it's been life-changing. I can easily change the positions, which has helped my back, and it gives me a lot more options for all those Zoom calls, plus my recording today. So reach out to Workplace Solutions when you need new furniture, either for home or for an office of 10 or hundreds. Finally, Bienville Capital. Underwriting provided by Bienville Capital Group, financial professionals who provide individuals and business solutions to help reach their financial goals. More information is available at bienvillecapital.com. Financial success doesn't happen by chance. It has much more to do with thoughtful decision-making and consistent actions. Bienville Capital Group is committed to helping individuals and businesses transform their financial goals into actuality by tailoring financial plans and guiding them along the way. Plan Advisor magazine named Emmett Dupas one of the top 100 retirement plan advisors in the country 6 times for his work with retirement plans. For more information, visit bienvillecapital.com. Bienville Capital is there whether you're a New Orleanian or anywhere else in the country. And finally, today's episode is sponsored by our Patreon supporters. If you love the podcast, the Facebook group, and the work I'm doing, please consider becoming a monthly supporter. Find out more at patreon.com/beyondbourbonst. For the price of a cup of coffee or a beer, you can help me continue to share my lens in New Orleans with you. And if you join at the $10 level or above, we'll mention you on the show. All right, with that, let's jump into the episode. So let's first talk about time of year. I think there's advantages and disadvantages to each. It's always great to visit New Orleans, of course. We don't kind of, the seasons don't necessarily apply in the same way here in terms of spring, summer, winter, fall. There's sort of the early part of the year, which is before Mardi Gras, and Mardi Gras can vary. It can be as early as early February or pretty late into March. But sort of that time from Christmas and New Year's, just leading up to Mardi Gras, is sort of one season, if you will. And then you kind of have this spring for us is sort of post-Mardi Gras leading up to Jazz Fest. And then you have summer, which is really festival season. So kind of kicks off with French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest. And then festivals pretty much are throughout the summer. And then as you head into the fall, you have Saints season, of course, Po' Boy Festival. You have Boudin, Bourbon, and Beer, which you heard me talk about way back in episode 1. And then as you hit the winter here, you know, winter sort of relative term here, it doesn't get super cold, but you hit the sort of Réveillon season that, again, you've heard me talk about those old Cajun French traditions and the big dinners, and we celebrate those in the restaurants today. So that's all a fun time of year. I think it kind of depends on, one, what time you have available and what you might want to do. So let's just kind of go back a little bit. There's usually a little bit of a lull between the beginning of the calendar year and Mardi Gras. And so that can be a really fun time. The weather will be a little bit cool, but not bad usually. Certainly if you are interested in Mardi Gras, you can jump into that. But I think for the first time visitor, you know, that's a great time, but sometimes it's nice to come when there's not an event so that you can really dive into the city a bit. The time between Mardi Gras and Jazz Fest is a lot of fun. You've heard me talk on previous episodes. The French Quarter Fest is a fun, free festival. And then, of course, the last weekend in April, first weekend in May is Jazz Fest. So if you can fit in either before those two festivals or as part of one of those, but after Mardi Gras, that's always a fun time. There's a little bit of a lull where the city catches our breath collectively after Mardi Gras and before French Quarter Fest. Sometimes, like this year, you had St. Patrick's Day jump right in between there, so it was a little bit crazy. But you do get a couple weeks where the city just kind of takes a deep breath. The weather's usually really nice, and that's a nice time for a first-time visitor to come in as well. Of course, right after Jazz Fest, we go full well into summer, both sort of literally and figuratively. Jazz Fest always seems to be the marker for when the heat turns up here. I'm recording this in early June 2017, and we've just started to hit. Feels like a convection oven a little bit. It's certainly not the worst it's going to be, but those spring days are pretty much behind us. But you do have festivals, so beyond Jazz Fest, you start to get just a season of festivals. This weekend, we had the Creole Tomato Festival, for instance. You know, it can be fun to come in and take in a festival, not worry about it so much. It does get hot, so I've heard from people from other countries or from northern climates. Look, August is just hot and sticky here. There's no getting around it. You can expect days in the mid-90s most days and a lot of days with 90% humidity. So if you know that coming in and you're prepared for it, it's not too bad. But if you come from a mild climate, you might want to avoid August. That's probably the hottest month. You know, as we get into the fall, New Orleanians get pretty amped up about Saints, and certainly that includes me. And then you get into some of the later festivals. Again, Boudin Bourbon and Beer is just so much fun. It's one of my favorite festivals, our favorite celebrations. It's actually a fundraiser that Emeril Lagasse puts on. You've heard me talk about it before in one of the early shows, and you'll probably hear me talk about it again. Of course, as a diehard Saints fan, it's fun that time of year. But you also have the Po' Boy Festival later in the year, which is a fun festival as well. So you do get cooler weather. New Orleanians tend to refer to October as the glorious month of October. It seems like it's starting to get a little hotter these years than it used to be, but generally speaking, October is when you get a really nice break from the heat most years, and you can have just some really nice evenings. So October, November is a lot of fun. And then certainly when you get to Thanksgiving and beyond, you get celebration in the Oaks. So you've probably heard me talk about that in previous shows when I talked about City Park. Celebration in the Oaks kicks off on Thanksgiving and it runs through New Year's. And that's when the lights are the live oaks in City Park are all decorated. You have the Réveillon dinners at, 30, 40, 50 places across the city. Sort of traditional takes or takes on traditional dinners here in New Orleans. So that's a lot of fun. You really can't go wrong. I guess maybe the one thing is thinking about the heat and whether that matters to you. And then maybe the second thing is, do you want to come for an event or do you want to come just to experience the city? And my advice is, if you've never been here before, I would probably try to avoid one of the big things like Mardi Gras or Jazz Fest, only because, look, I love them both, but you can sort of get consumed by it. And if you want to come in and really enjoy the city outside of that, sometimes it's hard if you get pulled towards a big event and you want to do that event. Again, sort of the fear of missing out. So I think for a first timer, I might advise, obviously come whenever you can fit it in with schedules and kids, if you have kids and work schedules, but I might advise or suggest that you come in when it's not a big event. So now you've figured out when to come. Now let's talk about what to do. And I have a list here. I have, 10 or 11 things and then maybe a couple extra. So let's jump in. These are in no particular order except that I tried to think about just the things that I think are must-sees and do's. So first on my list, number one, is visit a cemetery. So you've heard on previous episodes, back in episode 22, I talked with Sally Asher, about the St. Louis cemeteries of New Orleans. Sally has a fabulous book by the same title where she talks about the people who are buried in the St. Louis cemeteries. There's St. Louis number 1, 2, and 3, so let's talk about that for a minute. Number 1 is the oldest cemetery in New Orleans, and it requires a tour guide to get in. It was established in the late 1700s, and it's at Basin and St. Louis, which is what locals refer to as back of town, just across Rampart if you're behind the French Quarter. Again, if you go see St. Louis number 1, and that's where Marie Laveau is buried, so it's probably the most famous cemetery, but you do need a tour guide. St. Louis number 2 and number 3 don't need a tour guide. So number 2 is located just a few blocks further back on North Claiborne. The one thing I would tell you is be aware if you go there by yourself. I've never had any problem, but you really wouldn't want to be there late in the evening, or certainly not as the sun starts to go down. And number 3, St. Louis number 3, is located on Esplanade Avenue in Mid-City. It's probably my favorite for a bunch of reasons. For one, my grandparents are buried there, my maternal grandparents. It's also known as the Cemetery of Angels, so it's a great place to take photographs. I also like that you can explore the neighborhood. You're right near Bayou St. John and City Park, and Esplanade Avenue itself is gorgeous. There's a couple pocket parks right there, a couple good little restaurants and coffee shops, so it's just a really neat area. You can get to St. Louis number 3 by taking the red streetcar, the Canal Street streetcar. So if you're in town and you were staying downtown, either in the French Quarter or the Warehouse District or the Central Business District, you could hop on the red streetcar for $1.25 and take it all the way to the end of the line. So it goes down Canal. You have to make sure you get on the right one or ask the conductor, but it will turn right onto Carrollton Avenue and you take it to the end. It dead ends right in front of City Park and you'll see Bayou St. John on your right. You can hop off and walk across the bridge, walk down just a couple blocks, and the cemetery's there on your left. The other thing there, if you listen to one of my recent episodes, number 37, it was called 10 Places to Eat Like a Local. And one of the places we talked about was Café Degas, which is just another block or two on the same side of the street down Esplanade from the cemetery. So a couple of things. I sort of maybe buried the lead. And obviously, at least to me, the reason you want to visit the cemeteries in New Orleans is that we bury people above ground. And of course, that's pretty unique. The crypts themselves are often really beautiful, really artistic. In some cases, they're a bit haunting or haunting looking, I would say. And the way we bury people and the culture around that is really part of our culture. It kind of gets to the relationship with the land and the Mississippi River. You know, for most of New Orleans is averages 6 feet below sea level. And so that's part of why we really can't bury people in the ground here because of the water table. So here in the city, it's very rare to see in-ground burials. So we bury people in these crypts, which sort of look like small houses, right? And the second part of that is, you've heard me talk, and if you're familiar with New Orleans, you've heard about second lines. And the idea of the second line really comes from the idea of a jazz funeral. And again, the sort of procession and the whole celebration we have in terms of honoring people who are deceased. So there's a lot of history wrapped up in the cemeteries. You can get details about the St. Louis cemeteries and some others at saveourcemeteries.org. That's where you can find out about some of the tours, as well as the history of the St. Louis cemeteries and, again, some of the others. Sally Asher's book, again, I talked to Sally back in episode number 22, which is one of our most downloaded episodes. In fact, I think it's the most downloaded episode. Her book is terrific. Again, St. Louis Cemeteries of New Orleans. And you could listen to that podcast episode, of course, but she really gets into the people that are buried in the cemeteries. And while certainly I think the cemeteries are beautiful and the crypts are beautiful, there's just something about getting to know and think about the lives that those people lived and the legacies they left. So that's a really, I think, a must do. And here's a bonus. You could take a Garden District tour, which we'll talk about a little later, and visit Lafayette Cemetery. And that's right near, in the heart of the Garden District, right across from Commander's Palace, or right down the street from Commander's Palace. There's also other cemeteries that are beautiful, and I often see, particularly on Instagram, I see photographers taking pictures of Metairie Cemetery and Greenwood Cemetery. In fact, Metairie Cemetery, which is not far from the end of Canal Street, they have an audio tour. I don't remember if it's a DVD, a CD, and they give you a little player. But if you go to Metairie Cemetery and you ask at the little guardhouse, there's a free tour there that you can take, a self-guided tour. So definitely, I think you want to check out cemeteries while you're here. All right, moving on. Number 2 on my list is spend some time in the Mississippi River. Of course, the whole reason that New Orleans is here is framed up on the river. The river is so important to us. There's a couple ways you can do it. One, you can take a riverboat ride, and even there you have a couple options. You can take the steamboat Natchez, which is a paddle wheeler, or you could take, they have a nice tour. It goes out and back. I think it's a 90-minute ride, and that's a great way to see the river and a lot of fun. You can also take the Creole Queen down to Chalmette Battlefield. So if you listen to episode 29 of the podcast, it was all about the Battle of New Orleans. We talked with Ed Branley, who, by the way, has his own podcast, the NOLA History Guy podcast. But you can take the Creole Queen down the river and go to Chalmette Battlefield and then visit the park there and gain a better understanding of the battle in New Orleans. So you got two options there. A third one that I really love is the Canal Street Ferry. So it shuttles people from the foot of Canal Street, which is just near the aquarium. You can hop on. It's $2 each way for passengers. And you go across to Old Algiers Point. So one thing that I love is just you get the view of the city, which is tremendous from the levee on the other side. But you also get the breezes while you're on the ferry. And you get to see some of the river traffic and hear some of the noises and just sort of the audio component of being on the river. That ferry, by the way, it's been in operation since 1827. And if you go across to Algiers Point, it's the second oldest neighborhood in New Orleans, second only to the French Quarter. Again, and this is going to be a recurring theme, I did a podcast episode on Algiers Point. It was number 30. And I guess that I'm going to take a slight detour here. As I was putting together this list and then started to make my notes, I realized that I had episodes on most of these topics. And it really goes to show you how detailed and how much history and how much there is to do in any one of these things. And particularly if you're listening and you've been to New Orleans a bunch or you're from New Orleans, undoubtedly you're going to have your own list. You're going to say, hey, why didn't Mark cover that one? Or he could have done that topic. And it really gets to the point of why we have Beyond Bourbon Street as a podcast, because there's so much about the city. But you're going to hear me say quite a bit throughout the show that, hey, we did an episode on this, or we did an episode on that. But if you haven't already, you might want to pause and grab a paper and pen, because there's certainly a lot of details here. So let's see. Oh, another option. So you can take one of the ships. You can go on the Natchez or the Creole Queen, or take the ferry over to Algiers Point. But one thing I think you absolutely have to do is make a point of walking up to the river. So if you're on Decatur Street and you're facing Jackson Square, which we'll talk about in a minute, your back is to the river. If you turn around and walk towards the river, you're going to go to an area called the Moonwalk and also Waldenburg Park. So the Moonwalk is sort of right along the bachelor of the river there. There is a walkway, and it's named after a former New Orleans mayor, Moon Landrieu. He also happens to be the father of the current mayor, as I record this in 2017, Mitch Landrieu. Walking up to the river, there's a couple of things. One, the fact that you walk up, and it gives you some sense. Well, the French Quarter is really only about, I think it's 1 foot above sea level or 1 foot below sea level. The fact that you have to walk up, you're crossing the bachelor and the levees, it really gives you a sense the city is a bowl. And so we sort of have to be protected from the river, right? I think it's useful to feel that as an adult, and it's a good lesson as you're walking the kids, you know, you're with kids and wandering around to get to see that and feel it. Out on the river, I love going up there. You can just sit on a bench or on the steps there. There's almost always some street musicians up there. You can often hear the calliope from the Natchez. It's a great picture spot to take pictures of river traffic or to look back at Jackson Square. I really like to grab a beverage, whether it's alcohol or it's coffee or just a bottle of water, and get a sample of pralines, which we'll also talk about in a bit. So go get 3-4 different pralines, get something to drink, find a good place to sit and relax and just enjoy the river, the traffic, the people, the music. And that's a fun thing too with kids. Or my wife and I did that long before we had kids. We were in town when we weren't living in New Orleans and just got like 3 or 4 different pralines from a couple different places, got something to drink. Went up there and had a taste test. Here's another insider tip. This certainly wouldn't be essential on your first trip, but there are other places to see the river. Two that I really like is one at the 40 Arpent Brewery, which is downriver in Araby. Not that far, but certainly not walking distance. It's a couple miles. The beer there is terrific, but the play is to get a beer and walk across the street and go up on the levee, and you have just this wonderful view looking upriver at the city of New Orleans, and you'll often see riverboats going by there. And another place is behind Audubon Park, uptown, almost to the Carrollton River Bend area of the city, behind the park. So in Audubon Park, there's a golf course, and behind the golf course is Audubon Zoo. And behind the zoo, there's the Batcher on the river. And that's a wonderful place just to relax. You'll see people out there picnicking, particularly late in the evening. I happen to be recording this on a Sunday. And so if I were out there on a Sunday evening like this, where the weather's pretty nice, you'll see people out there playing frisbee, or have the dogs out there, have kids running around, maybe have a drink. It's a nice place to see the river traffic. All right, number three on the list is visit Jackson Square. So, of course, Jackson Square is iconic, right? The picture of Andrew Jackson on his horse holding up the hat, tipping up the hat, the St. Louis Cathedral, the Cabildo and the Presbyterian in the background. So you've certainly, if you've seen pictures of New Orleans, you've certainly seen that. And why should you visit the square? Well, it's, you know, it really is the center of the beginning of the city, right? The French Quarter, the Vieux Carré, the original footprint of New Orleans. And here you're in the square. Now, we're coming up on the 300th birthday, as I mentioned. It's great for photo ops to take the picture, you know, that so many people do with Jackson, and then in the background, the St. Louis Cathedral. But there's so much going on in the quarter there and in the square. There's always street musicians, certainly right up by Jackson Square. So the street that is the back of the square, if you will, or the front of the square, if you will, is Decatur. And then as you walk away from the river, so you're back to the river into the square, you walk past Andrew Jackson's statue, you come out the other side of the square, and you're right in front of St. Louis Cathedral. And there's always a lot going on there. So there'll be street musicians. There's artists. Artists display their wares on the wrought iron fence that surrounds the square there. There also tends to be a ton of tarot card readers. You can get a buggy ride in front of the square. There's still a lot of hustle and bustle. Sometimes it's a little bit much for me, but when you can just sort of take a deep breath and take it in, there's so many different things going on. And you get like just a synopsis of New Orleans with, you can smell food not too far away, and you get the music, you get the beauty of the area, the greenery, and you get the artists right there. It's just a lot to take in, and it's really a lot of fun. One thing you should notice when you go to the square is look at the Pontalba. So the Pontalba apartments are on your left and right. They sort of flank the square. And the ironwork on the rails there, on the second floor there, is some of the oldest. I believe those were the first buildings in New Orleans to use ironwork like that. And of course, now you see them everywhere throughout New Orleans. But those are, that was the first place to do it. The Pontalba is also supposedly the oldest continuously rented apartments in the United States. And the records indicate that they were first rented out as apartments going all the way back to the 1840s. So as you're looking at the square and just enjoying it, right not far, and we're going to come back to this, but on Decatur, right by the river, of course, is Café du Monde, where you can get your beignet fix, and we'll certainly come back to that in a minute. But here's the way I would do it if I were going to go to Jackson Square. I'd take your photos of sort of the iconic images, or take some selfies or take pictures of the kids, and then do a lap around the square itself. Notice the vendors, the activity, the storefronts on the first floor of the Pontalba buildings, the architecture that I mentioned. Take a peek inside St. Louis Cathedral or take a tour. Better yet, you could attend Mass if that appeals to you. As a side note, you've heard me say on previous episodes, my family used to go to Christmas Eve Mass there, Catholic Mass there, and then go to the gumbo shop, which is a wonderful tradition and a fun thing to do. The St. Louis Cathedral is the oldest Catholic cathedral in the United States, in North America, actually. And there's been a Catholic church on that site since 1727. I think you also should visit the Presbyterian. When you look at the St. Louis Cathedral, you have the Cabildo and the Presbyterian. The Presbyterian is on your left and the Cabildo is on the right. Both of them are part of the Louisiana State Museum system. Again, here's what I would do. They're $6 a piece to enter. Kids under 12 are free. And I think there's a discount pass you can buy to go in both. So it might even be a little bit less than 12 bucks if you go per person, if you go in both. But I would definitely go in the Presbyterian. They have a permanent exhibit about Hurricane Katrina, and another one about Mardi Gras. And in the Mardi Gras exhibit, they even have parade floats that you can climb on. So again, if I'm a first-time visitor to New Orleans, or maybe if I've been here a while and just haven't been to the Presbyterian in a long time, go check out those permanent exhibits on Katrina and Mardi Gras. Sort of optional would be to go to the Cabildo, which again is the museum on the right. There you can see an exhibit on the Battle of New Orleans. And again, we talked about the battle extensively with Ed in episode 29. And they also have Napoleon's death mask there at the Cabildo. So if you're a student of history, a lover of history, that might be worth your time. But certainly if you only get to do one, I would go to the Presbyter. So if you've done all these things, it might be a good time to talk about food, right? I mean, you are in New Orleans now and we love to eat. So number four on my list of essential things to do during your first visit to New Orleans, and of course all visits to New Orleans, is food, right? We're known for food and you could spend a lifetime exploring our food. Certainly that's what I'm doing. But if you visit him for the first time, I think there's some things that have to be on your must list to try. These are in no particular order, except that I see the first several are snacks. So I think I was pretty hungry or wanting some dessert when I wrote this yesterday. So first on my list is beignets, of course. So Café Du Mont right there off Jackson Square is a great place to get them. They're open 24 hours a day. An even better choice to me as an insider is Morning Call in City Park. So you may or may not get to City Park on your first trip. And if you don't, Café Du Mont is wonderful. But I really like Morning Call in City Park. So there's a couple of things. One, there tends not to be the lines that there are in Café Du Mont because it's not as crowded, of course. And you're in City Park, which is a wonderful place to wander around. If you have a car, you can park for free and there's plenty of parking in City Park. And when you're done, if you go to City Park and go to Morning Call, be sure to go behind, there's like a walk bridge right behind the building that Morning Call is in, and you can wander through the grove of live oaks, some of which are 800 years old. And again, I did a couple podcast episodes specifically on City Park, so you could check that out. But certainly Café Du Mont is, again, iconic. The beignets are terrific. They're hot. They're plentiful. And if you go get beignets at Café Du Mont, actually, right behind it, here's a little bit extra lanyap. Right behind it is an alley called Dutch Alley. It's named after one of the former mayors of New Orleans, Dutch Morial. And there's a couple of sculptures in there. There's a fun photo op spot, particularly if you have kids. It's like, I think they're cast bronze statues. So you can sit next to them or stand next to them. It's just a good quiet spot. And when the light's right back there, it's a really fun spot to take pictures. So beignets definitely need to be on your list of things to eat. Second on my list is snowballs. So snowballs are shaved ice. And if you're somewhere in the U.S. that has a snow cone, it's not the same thing. And there's two fundamental differences. One is the ice. So this is a very fine shaved ice. If you put it on your tongue, it'll melt very quickly. And the quality of the syrups, in my mind, are just a lot better and a lot more varied. So you want to get a snowball. Hansen's is the best. They're over on Chapultepec. It'd be like an Uber or a Lyft ride if you're down in the French Quarter. But the lines are long, and they have probably the most limited season. They've been in business, I think it's 78 years. But if you miss them or you don't want to fight the line, there's plenty others. You try Plum Street Snowballs over in the Carrollton River Bend area, which is easily accessible by a streetcar. Pandora's on Carrollton or Snow Wizard. Excuse me. My favorite flavors are strawberry, spearmint, and pink lemonade. I think you heard on an early episode with my daughter Olivia on the Kids Guide to New Orleans. She likes a place called Ike's in City Park. But I got to tell you, my kids aren't that picky like me. They'll go to any place that has a snowball. So you certainly want to check out snowballs when you're here. Next up on my list are pralines. Pralines are basically made with sugar, milk, butter, pecans, and sometimes vanilla. Some are creamy and others are chewy. I'm partial to the creamy ones. What makes pralines special to me is that they're some of the earliest street food in the United States. And certainly by the 1860s in New Orleans, they were being sold, usually by African-American women selling them on the street. So they really were the original street food, and certainly here. And the tradition of pralines in New Orleans has just remained. There's a lot of places just in the French Quarter alone. But here's a couple. There's Aunt Sally's, Leah's Pralines, Loretta's Pralines, Laura's Pralines, and Southern Candy Makers. Again, the way I like to enjoy pralines as a visitor is to go just get a couple of them. As you're walking around, grab one or two, throw them in your bag or whatever you got, and then get something to drink and head out to the river, or if you want to take a break in Jackson Square, and sample them. Again, we had fun as adults doing that. It's a lot of fun with the kids, so you can kind of do a blind taste test and see who likes what. Again, as I mentioned, they have pecans in them, so I guess you got to make sure that you don't have any kind of nut allergies. But pralines are terrific. They're great street food. They're a great snack. And you can get some of them pretty small, so you don't have to eat a ton of food if you just want a light snack. So that's beignets, snowballs, pralines. Here's a couple others. Po' boys. It's a classic New Orleans sandwich. And for me, it's all about the bread. Definitely check out episode number 6, which was the history of the po' boy. It's my favorite show of the 38, 39 podcast episodes I've done, but it's because I interviewed my dad, who owned Teddy's Grill, which was a neighborhood po' boy place for 36 years. Teddy's Grill doesn't exist anymore, if you heard that episode, thanks to Hurricane Katrina. But we still own the building there, and some friends of ours moved their wonderful restaurant, the original Fiorella's Cafe, there, and they make a great po' boy as well. But here's a list, and again, we could go on and on about po' boys. Here's a list of places that I find I often recommend for you to get a po' boy. There's Johnny's Po' Boys and Killer Po' Boys, Cafe Maspero's. All three of those are in the French Quarter. There's Parkway Bakery out on Bayou St. John. There's Katie's and Mandina's, both in Mid-City. You've heard me talk about both of those restaurants before if you've been a long-time listener. And Katie's was on the recent episode, 10 Places to Eat Like a Local. There's Guy's Po' Boys and Domalisi's, both uptown in New Orleans. And Joey K's over on Magazine Street, sort of in the Garden District. All those places have terrific po' boys. They each have their own take on it. You'll find po' boys come in all kinds of varieties. So the most common would be like a roast beef po' boy or a fried seafood po' boy. So you can fry fried shrimp or fried oysters is the most common. But at least when we had our restaurant, I think we had 30 different kinds or 28 different kinds of po' boys. We had hot dogs, smoked sausage, again, the roast beef, fried ham. The original po' boy is French fried, so fried potatoes on French bread with roast beef gravy. And if you come across that, that is a little slice of heaven and probably my favorite kind of po' boy. But you come to New Orleans for the first time, you got to have a po' boy, so definitely do that. Another New Orleans classic is a gumbo. So you heard Chef Frank Brightson on the last show talk about gumbo, and I think his gumbo, he has a 13-step process to make his gumbo. There's lots of varieties, but they break down very roughly into seafood gumbo and chicken gumbo. Now, saying that, there's places that you can get chicken and seafood in one gumbo, but generally you hear people talk about seafood gumbo and chicken gumbo. Lots of places serve an excellent gumbo, and it's all about the roux. I like my gumbo just dark and smoky. So places that come to mind for me are Mr. B's, where incidentally, I think I'm going to go have some gumbo ya-ya when I'm done with this episode. That's a chicken and andouille gumbo. Chef Frank makes just a tremendous gumbo over at Brightson's in the River Bend. Katie's that I just mentioned makes a gumbo. It's not quite as smoky or as dark as Mr. B's, but it's kind of along those lines. K. Paul's, Commander's Palace, and of course the gumbo shop in the heart of the French Quarter. So definitely, if you've never been to New Orleans, you come, you want to try gumbo. Again, if you're not a seafood lover, try the chicken and andouille gumbo as well, or instead. Again, I mentioned seafood. One of the advantages of life along the Gulf Coast is an abundance of seafood, right? And here in New Orleans, you'll find a variety of fresh fish, local fish. You'll also find oysters, shrimp, crawfish, and crabs, depending on what's in season. I guess what I would say is be as adventurous as you can, and know that there's a lot of varieties. So almost all those things I just described, you can find them boiled, fried, or grilled. Crawfish and shrimp are found in gumbo. They're found in etouffee. So you definitely, I think, if you come to New Orleans, you want to come and try out some seafood. G.W. Finn's, to my mind, is one of the best places in the city for fresh food and fresh seafood and fresh fish. A lot of po' boy places, as I mentioned, you can try fried shrimp or fried oysters on a po' boy. Creole bistros. So I mentioned Mr. B's or Brightson's, Commander's. Gosh, Antoine's, Arnaud's, Galatoire's. If you like or you want to try boiled seafood, there's a great place on Carrollton Avenue called Bevy Seafood, B-E-V-I. And they just like a big boil. So whatever's in season they have, and they have terrific crawfish. We're winding down on crawfish season now, heading into shrimp season. So you'll be able to go get boiled shrimp over there. And that place is accessible by streetcar. So again, if you're staying downtown and you hop on the red Canal Street streetcar, you can just ask the conductor where it is, and you can hop off and get some seafood there. Unless you just have an aversion or you're allergic to shellfish, try seafood while you're here. It's fresh. There's so many varieties. Just with oysters, you can get fried oysters, you can get charbroiled oysters, grilled oysters, oysters on a po' boy. I'm starting to sound like Forrest Gump now, right? But there's so many different ways to get seafood here. I definitely think you should give that a shot. Another food type, if you will, that I think is a must do is the muffaletta. So that's a popular New Orleans sandwich. It's typically served on a round Sicilian sesame seed bread that's often called muffaletta bread. New Orleans has a really large population of Italian immigrants, most of whom are actually Sicilian. And that includes my family, my dad's family, and by extension, me, of course. The sandwich includes Italian meats and cheeses and olive salad. So olive salad is chopped olives and seasonings that's in olive oil. Some muffalettas are served hot and others are served cold. To me, the classic muffaletta is found at Central Grocery on Decatur. They have just a couple of seats to sit. They really don't have tables there, so it's mostly a to-go place. It's an old Sicilian market is what it is, but they have terrific muffalettas there. My wife is partial to the one at Cafe Maspero's, which is served hot. And another place called the Original Pierre Maspero's is also known for their hot muffaletta. Here's an insider tip for you. Get the one at Central Grocery and ask them to wrap it extra well. It makes a perfect picnic snack or a late night meal after maybe too many adult beverages. It's also, I recommended this recently to some people that were visiting, it makes an outstanding on the flight home dinner. So go over to Central Grocery, get them to wrap it up, tell them you're going to take it on the plane, you're going to eat it tonight on the way home, and then watch everybody drool around you on the plane while you're getting one last taste of New Orleans on your way back to wherever you're headed. Look, I could go on and on about food, right? It's New Orleans. I've done episodes solely on food, and we'll do more in the future. But start with this list for your first visit, right? What I could tell you is don't eat at franchise places when you're here. If you're here on business and it's your first visit, don't order room service. Make sure you get out. This is one thing where the name Beyond Bourbon Street really applies. With very few exceptions, I would say get off of Bourbon Street and go find some great local food. Send me an email if you don't know where to eat. Or listen to the 10 places to eat like a local, or again, check out the tips here on the podcast. But get out of your hotel room, get out, try some New Orleans food, y'all. Number 5 on my list is the French Quarter. We already talked about Jackson Square, but I really want you to explore the entirety of the French Quarter. Look, it's the original footprint of New Orleans. It's bounded by the Mississippi River and really Decatur Street just off the river. It extends 8 blocks back to Rampart Street. Locals call the area behind Rampart Street back of town. And if you're standing with your back to the river, the left edge of the French Quarter would be Canal Street, while the right is Esplanade Avenue. No one here uses compass directions, so I'm not going to use it now. And if you ask a local which way is north, south, east, or west, you're probably going to get a guess. So you could do, this could be, the French Quarter be the subject of an entire episode of the podcast and probably will be at some point. But what I want you to do is wander around. Notice the architecture. If you follow me on Instagram over at Beyond Bourbon ST, I take lots of pictures of New Orleans architecture, houses, and a lot in the French Quarter. But wander around and just take a look. I think too often in the French Quarter, people are hurrying from place to place, you know, to get food or drink or music, whatever it might be. I challenge you to get beyond the commercial end and really notice the residences, particularly as you head towards Rampart once you cross beyond Bourbon Street, and also as you head over towards Esplanade. The one thing is just be careful, be aware of your surroundings, right? New Orleans is a big city, generally pretty safe, but you know, people take advantage of tourists if you're not careful. So you just want to be careful. And as you get beyond the commercial part, you don't want to be wandering around there at night. But during the day, I think I do it all the time. I think it's relatively safe. And it's just you start to see for all the hustle and bustle of Bourbon Street and Royal Street, Decatur Street. Again, as you get to the blocks closer to Rampart, and then as you go again, to your right with your back on the river, and you head towards Esplanade, sort of the corner of Esplanade and Rampart, the back corner, if you will, of the French Quarter. It's just so much residential. You really get to see the neighborhood for what it is. It's a neighborhood. And I think too often people see the images on TV of Bourbon Street, and they don't really understand how much of a neighborhood it is and how vibrant it is. I also think it's fun to walk around in the French Quarter because there's so much. It's so stimulating to the senses. There's this visual component, certainly, but there's an audio track to New Orleans and to the French Quarter. As you're wandering around, and again, you get beyond the commercial part of particularly Bourbon Street, I'm often struck as I'm wandering around taking pictures. I can hear a noise, and then I stop and realize it's the calliope from the river over on the steamboat Natchez, and just the kind of rhythm of the city. I also think, for me, the best time to be in the French Quarter, and I talked about this with Richard Campanella on the recent episode about how Bourbon Street happened, is to walk in early in the morning. And by early, I mean, ideally like 7:30 to 8:30, something like that. For one, it's the cleanest time of day in the French Quarter. They're literally cleaning the streets. But there's just, you see people coming and going. You see people going to work. You hear just the rhythm, and it's quiet. And it's just a really peaceful time to be in the French Quarter, which is a little bit surprising, I think, for people. I also like the late afternoon during the week, particularly during a weekday, particularly when there's no festival or anything going on. Usually, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a neat time to walk around and just explore. So again, definitely do that. You want to stroll down Royal Street and shop the galleries, or at least window shop the galleries and the antique stores there. And you certainly do, and we're going to come to Bourbon Street in just a minute. You certainly do want to go down Bourbon Street. Another piece of the French Quarter is the French Market. So as you head over towards Esplanade, the French Market is a pretty vibrant area. There's a flea market. There's farmers markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays, although it's seasonal, so you got to check the schedule. And there's a daily market with some fresh food and produce vendors there. And it's a great place to pick up some artwork of New Orleans or some souvenirs, that kind of thing. Certainly, if you have kids with you, it's a fun place to go pick out some souvenirs to take home. It's really close to the old U.S. Mint, which is part of the Louisiana Museum system. The Mint focuses, well, certainly on its history as a mint, but also on jazz in New Orleans. And that's a good insider tip. Most days of the week, there's free jazz performances over at the old U.S. Mint. So that's a good thing to do. But the French Market itself is really fun and worth a stop. You might have heard me on an earlier episode. For me, it conjures up images. When I was a kid in the 70s, the French Market itself was a vibrant market, and each stall was a produce vendor for the most part, some meat vendors, but mostly produce. And they would sell specific things. Like I remember Dixie tomatoes, and that's what they sold, tomatoes. And then you'd go over to get the, say, lettuce at another place. I remember there was a place that sold lettuce and cabbage. And so we would go before school in the morning in the family station wagon. My mom would take us down there, and we'd load up with all the things that we needed. And then we would lay down in the crawl space between what was left from the cases of produce and the top of the car, and ride the couple miles back to the restaurant, drop everything off, and then we would go to school. And it just, that has stuck with me so much. But the French Market, well, it's not quite that like that anymore. There's not wholesale produce sales. It's a great place to go visit and check out. Number 6 on the list is Bourbon Street. Definitely go visit Bourbon Street. I know that the podcast is called Beyond Bourbon Street, but it's iconic. It's the most important street in New Orleans, I think, in terms of it is in many ways the center of New Orleans. It is also, as you heard from Richard Campanella, if you listen to episode 36 and the history, it is the center. So if you count from the river, it's 8 blocks deep, and Bourbon Street is the 4th street there. I think it's worth seeing both at daytime and at night. If you enjoy adult beverages, be sure to stop at Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop and have a nice beverage. You can also check out some of the touristy places like Razoo's or Cat's Meow, which is a karaoke place. You can go to Oz, which is a popular gay club that's fun for anybody that likes to dance. You can get a drink from any of the places, and you can take it to go, because of course, our open container laws here in New Orleans are pretty liberal, to say the least. As long as you don't have your drink in a glass, you can take a drink and go wander down the street. And in fact, every place that you'll come across in New Orleans, if you buy a beer or a mixed drink, you can get a cup and take it with you to go. You just can't take it into the next place. But you can wander down Bourbon Street or any street with a drink in your hand. In fact, you'll see many of the bars actually have a window where you don't have to go inside. You can just buy a drink from right on the street and keep going. Daiquiris, my wife reminded me as I was putting the list together, daiquiris are always a fun thing to have in New Orleans because, again, it's portable and you can wander down the street. Yes, we really do have drive-through daiquiri stands here. Again, getting back to Bourbon Street, though, listen to episode 36 with Richard Campanella to learn the history of the street. If you're a New Orleanian, I think you'll especially enjoy the way that Richard challenges our beliefs about Bourbon Street. It's sort of real popular to say, Bourbon Street, ignore it. And certainly I've been guilty of that. But I think you'll find if you listen to the episode with Richard, when you really stop and think about Bourbon Street, it has played such a vital role in the development of the city and certainly post-Katrina. So I think it's worth checking out. And again, if you don't drink or maybe if you have kids, you don't want to be down there at night. But certainly walking in the middle of the day down, it's fun to see and to hear the music and just sort of the cacophony of sounds and light and experience there. Number 7 on our list is listen to live music. beyond Bourbon Street, right? There are certainly music clubs on Bourbon Street, but I like to get beyond that. There's so much more to this city. I like small, intimate places. Bufa's Lounge over on Esplanade, right off Rampart. Really good place to hear live music. It's a very unassuming place, but they have good food there, by the way. You want to check out the music schedule there. Usually a lot of singer-songwriters, that kind of thing, right on the edge of the Marigny. So you have the French Quarter and then the Marigny. And right at the backside of Bufa starts the Treme. So you get these three iconic, historic neighborhoods. That's a good place that people don't always think about. These are in no particular order, but I like Chickiwawa on Canal Street. So that's a short Uber or Lyft from the French Quarter, or you could take the streetcar. I was just there the other night listening to Paul Sanchez, who we interviewed on an earlier episode. For jazz music, you certainly want to check out Frenchman Street in the Marigny. And you just want to go down there and kind of wander and check out the different places and see what or hear what sounds good to you and duck in. For a great sort of rollicking time, be sure to hit Maple Leaf Bar over in Carrollton on Oak Street on a Tuesday night for Rebirth Brass Band. So they have live music every night. Rebirth plays every Tuesday that they're in town. The one caveat is the shows at Maple Leaf are general admission, and they don't start till 11 o'clock at night. So you definitely want to rest up if you're going to go do that. If you got to go to Bourbon Street, again, I mentioned Razoo's is fun, as is Cat's Meow. It's a karaoke place. And we seem to end up there when there's, like a big family reunion or a wedding or something like that. We're about to celebrate a wedding in the Bologna family with a cousin in a couple weeks, and I am sure we will end up at Cat's Meow. If you go to Pat O'Brien's, check out the piano bar as well inside. That's a lot of fun. Preservation Hall is a wonderful place. Sometimes hard to get tickets where you can sit down, but a great place to hear kind of a blend of certainly traditional jazz music, which is what it was founded on. But now as the guys start to die off, frankly, there's kind of a mix of new and old. But Preservation Hall is where you want to go to hear traditional New Orleans jazz. The old U.S. Mint I mentioned earlier, that's a great insider's tip. Free live music most days of the week, and that's a lot of fun to do. Don't forget the street performers, just tremendous. We're going to do an episode at some point about the street musicians in New Orleans. But just wandering the French Quarter, you're going to come across so much music. Just stop and take the time to enjoy them. Really great performers. Tipitina's down on Napoleon and Chapatoulas is a great live music club. There's often music at the square. So in Lafayette Square, which is just a little bit outside the French Quarter, about eight blocks, I guess, in the Central Business District near the Warehouse District, there's a series of free concerts throughout the spring into the early summer. As I mentioned earlier, there's always festivals going on. So you might check what time of the year you come in and see what festivals. And then there's even a concert series in City Park. So on Thursdays, almost all year round, I think it's like 48 of the 52 weeks, it's $8 or $9 to get in. And there's a pavilion of two sisters in the botanical garden there. Really fun place to go hear all kinds of music. Number eight, and there's something I would say, there's a musical style for all tastes. I was just helping someone with a travel consult recently, and they wanted jazz music, but they also wanted singer-songwriter. They wanted places where they could sit down, where they weren't sort of standing up or competing like general admission. And they ended up at the Columns Hotel. The Columns Hotel over on St. Charles Avenue is a place you can take the St. Charles streetcar, hop off. The streetcar literally stops right in front of the Columns. And on Tuesday nights, there's a wonderful guitar player, John Rankin, who plays there, and he often plays with other people, other guests. But that's just a lovely place to have a cocktail and enjoy some great music, and there's no cover charge. So I find myself meeting people there quite often when they come in town and say, hey, can we meet you, and we want to hear some music. Number eight is have a drink. As you probably know, New Orleans is a place, I mentioned it earlier, where it's okay to carry an open container on the street as long as it's not glass. Several cocktails were created here, including the Sazerac, the Ramos Gin Fizz, the Vucaray, of course, the French 75, Brandy Milk Punch, the Hurricane, the Grasshopper. I could go on and on, right? In fact, we're going to have an upcoming episode about cocktails in New Orleans, so I don't want to go into a ton of detail here. But we did also do an episode with Abigail Gullo, who's a bar chef at Compère Le Pen, and in fact was the 2016 Bartender of the Year in North America. That was number 15, if you want to go back and give it a listen. But there's a variety of places that you can have great drinks in the city. Let's see, let me just give you a few. So the Sazerac Bar in the Roosevelt, which is where the Sazerac came from. The Carousel Bar in the Mont Lyon Hotel is known for the Vue Carrée, and the Carousel Bar is an actual carousel that spins very slowly, so you want to check that out. The Grasshopper was created at Toujac's restaurant. If mixed drinks are your thing, a few of my favorites are Compère Lapin. Again, I just mentioned that, where Abigail Gullo is, and Nina Compton is the chef there. That's over in the Warehouse District. There's Revel over right on the streetcar line, actually, on Carrollton Avenue. The Pontchartrain Hotel, which is renovated in the last year on St. Charles Avenue, has a couple of bars, has a rooftop bar there. Louisiana is now home to more than 30 breweries. So if you're a beer lover like me, try Avenue Pub on St. Charles Avenue, Nola Brewing on Chapultepec. There's the Bayou Beer Garden in Mid-City. There's Ale on Oak on Oak Street in Carrollton. And one of the newest is Port Orleans on Chapultepec. There's also some great neighborhood bars, including Finn McCool's Irish Pub in Mid-City. The Rusty Nail is a place I really like in the back of the Warehouse District. And again, Ale on Oak on Carrollton. So, and I mentioned the daiquiris, right? You can get a frozen daiquiri, which is a great thing to, as you're wandering around town, right? Walking through the French Quarter, we'll talk about Magazine Street in a little bit. And of course, if you're not an alcohol drinker, just another excuse to have a snowball, right? So let's see, number 9 on the list is ride a streetcar. I'm partial to the green ones, the St. Charles streetcar. Unless you want to go to City Park or Esplanade Avenue, or I mentioned St. Louis Cemetery number 3. In that case, you want to take the red one. But let's start with the green. So the green streetcar is the St. Charles streetcar line, and it dates back to 1835. It's the oldest continually operating streetcar line in the world, actually, and it's on the National Register of Historic Places. The streetcars are a great deal. They're $1.25 each way, or you can buy a thing called the Jazzy Pass for unlimited rides, and they have those in multiple day, so you can get like a 1 day, a 3 day, a 5 day. I think you can get a month-long pass. And the streetcar is a great way to sort of glimpse the Garden District and see the mansions. You can take it all the way to Audubon Park, to Riverbend, where we did an episode again about Carrollton and Riverbend, or all the way to the end of the line at South Claiborne Avenue. And so to me, the streetcar is a destination in itself. There's this audio component, sort of the hum of the streetcar and the rhythm as it starts and stops. It's a little bit creaky. The seats are wooden seats, and so there's a noise there. I don't usually think of it as a transportation so much as just an experience, right? But if you're going to go to the Garden District, which we're going to talk about next, or you want to go to Oak Street or Carrollton Riverbend, or you want to get out to see Frank Brightson at Brightson's Restaurant, or the Columns Hotel, it's a great way to go. I don't think you can come to New Orleans and not ride the streetcar and say that you've been to New Orleans. So you definitely have all these things we're talking about. It just, it's such a part of New Orleans that I think you got to do it. Again, the red streetcar is the Canal Street streetcar. It's also $1.25. You can take it from the foot of the river down along Canal Street. So if you're staying in the Central Business District or the French Quarter or even the Warehouse District, not far to walk to Canal Street, hop on. You can take it all the way to where Canal Street dead ends or jogs over. It becomes Canal Boulevard, actually, but runs into the cemeteries there. Or you can take the variant that turns onto Carrollton Avenue and take it down to City Park and Bayou St. John, as we were talking about. But don't miss riding the streetcar. And certainly if you have kids with you, it's an absolute must thing. Maybe the number one thing you got to do with kids is get on the streetcar. It's so much fun. Let's see. Oh, I actually did an episode on the history of the streetcar too. I'm sorry, this has become a list of episodes. But again, it kind of gets to these things. There's so much detail and so much you can do as you dive into them. And I guess also the fact that I did an episode about each of these really does solidify that these are the must-do things. So the episode on the history of the streetcar was way back in number 16. Number 10 on my list of things you want to do as a first-time visitor to New Orleans is to explore the Garden District. Again, the St. Charles streetcar is the best way to get there. You can take a tour. You've heard me talk many times about Two Chicks walking tours. So that they do a great job in their tour in the Garden District combines touring the actual Garden District, looking at the architecture and hearing about some of the famous residents, as well as Lafayette Cemetery. So the Garden District was originally its own town called Lafayette, which is why it's called Lafayette Cemetery. But even if you want to go to the Garden District by yourself, I think it's fun. It's a must do. You look at the architecture and the grandeur. It's so big. There's so many mansions and they're so large. I spent a lot of time wandering through the Garden District, again, taking pictures from my Instagram account over at Beyond Bourbon ST. But one of the things that hit me after talking, we did an episode, of course, a podcast episode about, it was called Tales of the Garden District, episode 17. And I interviewed Christine Miller, who's the head chick in charge over at Two Chicks Walking Tours. That's also one of our more popular episodes. But one of the things that she talked about a lot is the idea that there's all this grandeur, but it was built essentially on the backs of the slave trade. You know, a lot of the, not everyone, but a lot of the big mansions, the owners of those mansions made their fortunes on sugarcane and on slave trading itself. And so it's interesting, I think, to wander through and admire the beauty of the homes and the architecture, but also to kind of stop and just reflect about what New Orleans and what North America was like, the United States, and just kind of think about the grandeur there, but set against the context of the slaves and that whole piece of our history. But definitely the Garden District, it's a beautiful area. You're also among the live oak trees. And again, just the overall grandeur. You're not that far from the river, so sometimes you can hear the sound of the riverboat, the river traffic. It's a must-do, exploring the Garden District. Again, whether you're on a tour or you're on your own. All right, so that's 10 things that you got to do on your first trip to New Orleans. But if you're a long-time listener to the show, you know about lagniappe, right? In New Orleans, the word lagniappe, it's French. It means a little something extra. So I have 3 pieces of lagniappe for you because I just couldn't stop at 10. The first is, and I guess this will be number 11 on my list, is Magazine Street. So Magazine Street, it runs parallel to the river, and it's between Chapultepec and St. Charles Avenue. So it starts, Magazine Street starts down in the Warehouse District, and it runs all the way to Carrollton Riverbend area. So along the way, you have just countless shops, boutiques, restaurants, bars. It's great for a stroll, for some shopping, whether it's window shopping or it's actual shopping. You can find all kinds of things. There's like boutiques, there's eclectic shops, there's home furnishings. In fact, in the days before we lived here, we would go down to Riverbend, get a daiquiri, and my wife and I would pick a section of Magazine Street and just wander. And she might go in some of the shops. I went in even fewer, but I'd sit on the front porch or the steps while she was doing that and protect her daiquiri, right, and drink my own daiquiri. So it's a fun, like it would take a whole day easily to explore the whole length of Magazine. But it's fun to just pick a section and wander several blocks, have something to eat, something to drink, maybe get dessert at Sucre, have lunch at Joey K's, just wander a bunch of places there. And I definitely think, particularly if you've done the other things on the list, spending some time on Magazine when the weather's nice is a lot of fun. Number 12 on this list, so my second piece of lagniappe, is the Backstreet Cultural Museum. So again, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you've heard me talk about it. The Backstreet Cultural Museum is located in the Treme, which is just back of the French Quarter. The Backstreet Cultural Museum is the place to learn about the New Orleans Mardi Gras Indians. You'll see many suits crafted by Indian gang members there and learn about their stories. As you mentioned, so Mardi Gras Indians they're called not tribes, they're called Mardi Gras Indian gangs. So these are not like gangs like you're thinking Bloods and Crips, right? These are Mardi Gras Indian tribes, if you will, or gangs. But the Backstreet Cultural Museum is a great place to actually see the suits that they've crafted and to learn about their stories. You'll also learn about the history and the tradition of second line parades and the benevolent associations, as well as this group called the Baby Dolls. So these are, again, sort of a second line type group where women are dressed as you guessed it, baby dolls, right? So if all this has kind of whet your appetite to learn more, definitely add a visit to the Backstreet Cultural Museum to your list. I did a whole podcast about the Mardi Gras Indians back in episode 13. And this is almost, now that I think about it, I did the top 10. It should have maybe been, this almost shouldn't be lagniappe, but should be a must do. One of the things I've done over the last year and a half with the podcast is really dug into and gained a greater appreciation of the Mardi Gras Indian culture and what it means as part of New Orleans culture. So that's one. It's in my lagniappe list, but it's way up there. And then because I just couldn't help myself, number 13, your last bit of lagniappe, is to visit one of the two great parks in the city. So I've mentioned both in passing today, City Park and Audubon Park. New Orleans is home to just these magnificent live oak trees, and two of the best places to see them are to wander among the oak trees in either City Park or Audubon Park. So Audubon is accessible on the Green Streetcar and the St. Charles Streetcar line. The front of Audubon is actually on St. Charles Avenue, and it goes all the way back to the Mississippi River. And in Audubon Park, you have walking paths. You have a golf course. It was the site of the 1884 World's Fair, and though there's only like one or two little bitty relics there, it'd be hard to know where the World's Fair was. It was set back about where the Audubon Zoo is today. Again, I mentioned the golf course. It's across from Tulane University and Loyola University, and then the River Batcher is behind the back end of the park, like I talked about earlier. So that's nice if you're a runner. You take the streetcar up there. If you're staying downtown, run a couple laps around the park and run back to your hotel. So that's a fun thing to do. But I think to get to experience the park and the live oaks is a pretty memorable thing. And then, of course, City Park, which is accessible on the Canal Street streetcar, the red ones, is in Mid-City. I think it's the sixth largest urban park in the United States. I did two episodes about the park, number 32, which was about the history of the park, and then number 33 was my top 10 things to do in City Park. So as you would guess from that, there's a lot to do. Some of the oldest oak trees in the city are there. Again, there's Morning Call with beignets. There's a New Orleans Museum of Art. There's the Old Grove. There's the Sculpture Garden. There's just so much to do there. So again, it was hard to know where to stop with the 10, but the Lagniappe pieces there were Magazine Street, the Backstreet Cultural Museum, and City Park. I hope this gives you some sense of, one, just how much there is to do in the city, and two, helps you start to think about planning for your first trip to New Orleans, right? And if you are not a first-time visitor, then I hope that it makes you kind of think about some other things that you might do or something you haven't done in a while, or even helps you help somebody else who's coming to the city.
Thanks so much for joining me today. If you do enjoy listening, please share Beyond Bourbon Street with someone who shares our love of New Orleans. Also, please consider becoming a patron of the show. It really makes a difference and helps me continue to provide content for you. Notes from today's episode, including a few updates since the original recording, will be available at beyondbourbonst.com/135. New episodes are available every other Wednesday. And until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.